KHUM is freeform independent radio from Humboldt County, California. Learn more at khum.com.
All right, I believe by the lack of blinking on this phone that something has gone wrong already. Let's find out. Is this Jen Savage or is this Bill Hickman? That's neither. Okay, that's really unfortunate. Don't know what's up with that. Let me reboot the phone.
All right. While you're doing that, I can talk a little bit about the Arcata sewage spill.
Yeah!
I know people love to talk about shit.
Yeah.
I'm trying not to say the words.
Yeah, that's good. You didn't.
Okay. So, you know, we have continued to make inquiries about this, and I think it's been pretty well reported that this was an overflowing trunk line. It was not an exceedance from the treatment marsh itself.
Yeah, it was like you just stuck, got
gunk.
Stuck. Yeah, gunk.
Yeah.
Fell into the drain, as gunk will do.
And actually, Marc-Andre left a message on my phone. We're playing phone tag right now. But he said it was actually a lot of grease had blocked the drain.
Interesting.
So this is also, you know, remember, we're all part of not only the food chain, but we're also part of the waste chain.
Mm-hmm.
And if you throw things down your sink that you really should, it's bad for your plumbing, it's also bad for the city's plumbing.
Grease.
Grease. Grease is the word.
Put that in that biodiesel. Grease is the word. Did you hear about the grease sing-along, by the way?
I heard about that.
That sound fun?
That sounded really fun.
I want in on that. And it's K-Hum's Bad Sandra D. No! Jen Savage from Humboldt Surfrider. Jen Savage, how are you?
I'm good, Mike. Thanks. How are you?
I take back the Sandra D comment.
That's okay.
Okay.
I had I think I may have told you this, when I was 11 years old, I had a roller skating party and Grease on vinyl, the soundtrack, was one of the presents that I got, and it made my life.
Yes, it is the best-selling musical soundtrack in American history for good reason. Those are the best songs.
Ever.
Straight up. Sorry, Sound of Music. All right, and then would you like to introduce our guest and what he's about?
Sure. So Bill Hickman is the Rise Above Plastics representative for Surfrider National. So not just local, yeah, but the big deal.
And for reasons unknown, he has a degree in finance.
Well, you know, it's probably better than a degree in, English? Better than a lot of degrees.
Let's bring him in. Bill Hickman, hopefully you can hear us. Our phones crashed at some point in the last 5 minutes, but are you with us, Bill Hickman?
Hello, hello. Yes, I'm out here.
Thank dear God. All right. And where are you right now?
Right now, I am in lovely Ventura, California.
How is the bag situation in Ventura? Do they have a local ordinance?
They don't. In fact, we are working on one right now. We just went through a process to get a regional environmental impact report done, and our city council voted unanimously in July to research it some more and bring back some ordinance language. So hopefully we'll be one of the 75 plus municipalities with some sort of regulation, because real quick, just this past weekend I was in the Ventura River and picked up 81 plastic checkout bags in less than an hour, and the next day I was down at the beach and I only found one, but unfortunately it was wrapped around a cormorant head that had washed in. So it really struck home on why we need to push forward with these types of reusable bag ordinances.
And for I can't imagine people don't know, this is well-tread ground here on Coastal Currents, but the reason that you want to do this, I mean, this is the low-hanging fruit, and it's not like people are going and throwing their bags off their boats. You know, it's an accidental problem. It's these bags will blow out of garbage cans, or they'll fall out of the truck on its way to the transfer station. There are 100 ways that these bags can get into the ocean, but they optimize all those 100 ways, basically. Like, they will get to the ocean eventually.
As you're mentioning, plastic bags are really just the tip of the plastic pollution iceberg, and there's so many other parts that are leading to harming marine life and adding to the plastic soup in the ocean and the Pacific Gyre. But we really need to start somewhere. This is a simple first step. The Arcata City Council is going to be voting on some of the specifics of the ordinance tonight, but it's really kind of a warning shot and say, hey, you know, we need to take a step back. We need a way to find plastic source reduction so there's less litter that's ugly to the eye and harms the environment in the long run.
Yeah, and again, like plastic itself, like these bags are used for on average like 14 to 16 minutes. You know, it's just like, it's very convenient. They're very strong bags. But they just, it's like the true cost of that. Jess, do you remember the estimate, how many bags Arcata itself goes through in 1 year?
You know, I don't know the estimates. I'm wondering if Jen knows it.
Jen Savage?
Oh, that would be a great item of information to have in front of me.
Bill Hickman, do you want to take a guess? Arcata has a population of 15,000 people. How many plastic bags does Arcata get? And this is a hippie town. Like, how many bags do they churn through over the course of 365 days?
I'd say maybe 5 million.
You're very close. It's 4 million bags per year in Arcata. 4 million bags.
That's a lot.
Most of which are not getting recycled. Most of which are either in a landfill or in the ocean. So we're going to do...
It's that weird paradox of it's something that's created to last forever but only be used once.
Yeah, good times. So, Jen, what is the update Arcata-wise? Or Bill Hickman, what is the update locally?
Well, I can tell you that the Arcata City Council, as Bill mentioned, will be voting tonight on an ordinance that will be banning the use of the plastic bags at large stores. And so that would include supermarkets, pharmacies, convenience food stores. But it would not affect the plastic bags that you use for your produce, your meat, your bulk foods, and prescription medications. So it's not all plastic bags, but it's the most commonly used ones.
And they would have paper bags to replace those. Like when they say paper or plastic, now it's just going to be paper if this thing passes?
Right. Paper bags that are made of at least 40% post-consumer recyclable materials, and that would cost 10 cents each, and the retailers would keep the money. So it's a way to offset any cost. But and Bill could probably speak a little bit more to this, but I mean, when you are using plastic bags at a store, that's not actually a free thing. That is built into what you're paying for your food and for shopping at the market.
Bill Hickman, sir, are you there?
Yeah. No, that's a great point that she makes, and that's why it's important to have that small fee on paper bags to make it really a reusable bag ordinance. That's what's going to make people remember their reusable bags or simply go without a bag for a small purchase, because we don't want everybody just going back to paper and using those. So just exchanging for another single-use item isn't the best answer. So the cost of bags has been built into the price of goods for a long time. And, you know, we're not naive thinking the price of goods is going to go down automatically, but a lot of these stores have razor-thin margins. So over the time, hopefully it'll have a little more cushion so prices don't increase as quickly or something along those lines. But at the end of the day, having the reusable bag ordinance with that small fee on paper bags really makes the biggest difference and is going to lead to the best thing for the community and the environment at the end of the day.
Bill Hickman of Surf Rider National, I have a couple of questions for you. First of all, where's your accent from? Can I guess?
Sure, go for it.
South Carolina.
No, but you're right on the East Coast.
Okay. Jessica Hall, where do you think his accent is based from?
I'm thinking Virginia.
Virginia? All right.
Oh, she's getting closer. We're talking Pennsylvania, Delaware, you know, Philadelphia area.
You have a Pennsylvania accent?
I don't know about the accent, but that's where I was born and raised.
No kidding. Okay. Yeah. Right. I would not have guessed that. Okay, so the other question I have is, since you work on the national level, what is the motion, like, nationally? Are we, as a country, starting to make some progress here?
It's really tough because there is great progress along the coast and certain communities that see a lot of plastic pollution firsthand and are seeing the impacts to wildlife and are reading the reports from scientists coming back documenting the plastic soup in the ocean. And there's lots of great progress on the local level throughout California. Even in Texas, there are some plastic bag ordinances there. On the East Coast, it's starting to take hold. But we're really frustrated that when it gets to a statewide bill, that the industry and opposition really comes in with their wallets and starts to make campaign contributions. They start to have big ad campaigns that, unfortunately, we just can't match with our community support. So it's going a little slower than I expect. So when we have cities like Arcata, you know, addressing the issue, that just sends more pressure to Sacramento and says, hey, you know, we need to do something statewide. We really need to ramp it up, because there are a lot of dedicated people that are seeing this tragedy of the commons and realizing that, you know, we need to take steps and act, because not all plastics are evil. There's plastics that we use, durable ones in our everyday lives, but it's the single-use disposable plastics that we're really targeting because they are littered at alarming rates and are impacting the wildlife that we love.
Okay, so let me ask you this, and then I want to kick it back to Jen Savage because I think we can give some props out to some local retailers who have done this on their own. Jen, stand by for that. But first, what is, like, okay, so let's say that you're at 100% mad about plastic bags, Bill Hickman. Let's just say that you are at 100% fury, okay? What fury level would you be at if the bags, the single-use bags, were biodegradable?
That would make things better, but unfortunately, I'm not aware of a fully marine biodegradable plastic that's out there. I mean, the biodegradable that's out there is a paper bag. You know, again, at the end of the day, we don't want to just kind of switch from one single-use item to another. We need to embrace reusables as much as possible. Personally, I prefer a cloth bag that's made from organic cotton or maybe even recycled cotton. There's some great groups collecting scraps and doing it that way. So we just need to change the mentality back to more of a reusable item, and that would be the top thing in my opinion.
But again, fury level. Would you be at like 50% fury?
Maybe even less, you know? I mean, maybe it's like 20% now, just with the items that are actually on the market and the research I've seen.
Okay. Jen Savage, same question. What's your fury level if these bags were not, you know, if they weren't going to be in the ocean essentially forever?
And they were biodegradable?
And they were biodegradable. Yeah, because they photodegrade. They just turn into little pieces, and then the fish eat them, and then we eat the fish, and then we're off to the races.
Well, right. Well, my take on it, I mean, first of all, we have yet to see anything that is actually as advertised when it comes to biodegradable. A lot of the things that people buy thinking that they're compostable or biodegradable really are only that way under a very specific set of circumstances that is not likely to happen when these things are discarded of. So it's important to not sort of fall into this false trap of feeling like the products you're using are doing what they're advertised to do.
Okay. I understand there's some changes coming down the line in terms of packaging and like what you can claim is biodegradable and what isn't.
Right.
But Jen, here in Humboldt County, some retailers are so over this. They haven't been using single-use bags for years. Who are these good folks? And let's give them some high fives.
Yeah. Well, I don't want to forget anyone. I mean, obviously the North Coast Co-op. And not only do they not have plastic bags, but I really like how they provide the leftover boxes, right? I mean, that is so handy.
And Costco does the same thing, too.
Yeah, Costco, same thing. I mean, that's just think like how much plastic waste is not created by that very simple step. You know, it's an easy solution. And I've never been shopping at the co-op and thought, oh, I really wish I had a plastic bag to put this stuff in.
So the co-op, I believe Ray's has also taken this on,
Ray's,
right?
Yeah. Wildberries, at least some of the Murphy's markets. I'm not sure if they all have, but I believe that most of them don't use plastic bags.
Yeah, I think the last holdout was like the Trinidad one, maybe. But yeah, Murphy's is also like, yeah, we're gonna wash our hands of this disaster,
right.
And nobody's gonna really care because it's not a big deal to not have plastic bags.
And that's the thing is that grocers, by and large, support statewide plastic ban bills, or plastic bag ban bills, as Bill pointed out. Whoa, that's a lot of bills and bags and bans. But the plastic industry itself, they're the ones who keep fighting it. I mean, even with the last few attempts at passing something statewide, the grocers' associations have come out and said, like, we support this because it's better for them to have something uniform instead of piecemeal. It's not ideal to have things passed city by city and county by county. It would make so much more sense to have it be statewide or national or international, right? But at least statewide. And so, you know, I think seeing grocers voluntarily make those changes just reflects that truth.
Yeah. Like recycling is awesome. Composting is awesome. But at the heart of it, I mean, as we keep saying, it's about reduction, like waste prevention, essentially. Bill Hickman, Jen Savage, we're going to let you go in just a sec, but Jen, I will point this out on the air because Jen is a good person. Jen is not a hoarder. She is a storer, and she has been storing wetsuits for... Jen, how long have you had that bucket of wetsuits?
Well, let's see. Probably at least 10 years, 11 years.
10 years, and I call her up, and I'm like, Jen, I need a kid's wetsuit that would fit a 6-year-old. And she's like, I got it. I roll over there. She pulls this bucket out. I walk out with this wetsuit, with these booties, with this glove, with this hood. Like, this kid is now going to be surfing because Jen was thinking about waste prevention 10 years ago.
That's awesome.
Isn't it?
Right.
Oh, dude. That's so great. Hey, Bill Hickman, thank you for joining us. Good luck on your quest.
Mike, one last
thing. Pleasure. Thanks for your time.
Oh, yeah.
Sorry, I did interrupt. I just want to say real quick about the meeting tonight. So this is going to be a vote on, I believe, the NEGDEC for the environmental review for it. It's going to open up a 30-day comment period if the council approves it. And then after that, we will have the bag ban.
Okay. And it's going to pass.
I would hope
it's
so.
It's going to pass. Eureka, so. Eureka's next. Let's get this done.
Yeah.
My town. Come on, man. All right, and then finally, Jessica Hall, we'll mention Dune Week next week is going to be awesome.
Yeah.
Also on the dunes front, the Coastal Naturalist training program that they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty sweet.
Yeah.
You should do that.
I'm giving a talk at it.
Are you?
Yes.
What are you going to talk about?
Baykeeper.
Sweet.
Humboldt Bay.
I've heard of them.
Mm-hmm.
The fighters of the good fight. All right, well, Humboldt Baykeeper, Surf Rider, thank you guys very much.
Thank you.
That's been Coastal Currents for today. Do you know this song by Pete Seeger called If It Can't Be Reduced?
No.
So Pete Seeger, his hippie ass, he's living, what, Woodstock? Where is he living? All I hear is that he just walks to the post office every day, but he sings these songs on a record that he made when he was almost 90. He was like 89 when he made this album. And it's still pretty awesome. So we will let Pete Seeger set this thing up. That's been Coastal Currents for today. You guys have a good one.
This has been a KHUM production. For more information, check out khum.com or search KHUM in iTunes.